Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I am Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. And you know, the truth is that every good season finale has a guest star, and we are no exception, so we are joined tonight by Special Agent Seki. Welcome, Blue.
Thank you, and thank you for the promotion. I appreciate that.
Yes, well, you were an airman last time, and I felt that was appropriate at the time, but you've been a staunch supporter of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. You've been standing by S.H.I.E.L.D., so to speak, so... You know, and really, it's just a paper promotion because S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't even exist anymore. So, you know, what the hell?
Mm.
Did you do the little lie detector test on him to make sure?
I thought you took care of that.
Oh no! Well, we can do it later. I'm sure that's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Sure
it's fine.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm trustworthy.
He says he's good.
I believe him. So
okay.
So, Josh, I do hope you brought the noisemaker tonight, though.
Then let's see. Let me see. Is that the right one?
That was the noise.
Okay.
And then, Lou, you brought the funk, right?
Of course. I'm not going to do the funk for you, but I brought it.
I was going to say, I couldn't tell what that funk was, but I figured it was probably Lou. So, anyway, apologies there.
Oh, boy.
So, Josh, why don't you cover the end of the beginning here?
Cover the end of the beginning. Okay. This is the beginning of the end at the end of the... It gets all very confusing.
The end of the first beginning of this of the last episode for the first season. Right, exactly.
So, all right. So this was episode 22, as you said, the end of the beginning of the first season. It was called Beginning of the End, and it aired on May 13th, 2014. It was written by Marissa Tantaroan and Jed Whedon. No. Did they write the pilot as well?
They did write the pilot.
They did. So we got kind of look at that. Another bookend part for our season here.
Symmetrical.
Very good. It was directed by David Straighten. Okay. John Garrett is feeling fine. He is. He's doing great. As a matter of fact, everything seems very, very clear to him now. Now that he's all recovered and he's hanging out in Psychotown with GH325 pumping through his system. Coulson, May, and Tripp. Don't worry about them. They make pretty quick work of the soldiers that were sent to get them at the end of last week's episode. And they find Fitzsimmons' tracking signal, so they can continue to hunt for Garrett. But unfortunately, Fitzsimmons are now on the bottom of the ocean. They're smart, though. Don't worry about them. And luckily, also for them, Nick Fury, he's not going to leave him behind. And he's there to pull him out, hopefully in time. Now Ward, you know, he's still hanging out with his buddy John Garrett, but he's clearly having second thoughts or third thoughts or 57 thoughts about his loyalty to Garrett. But he stands by him anyway, who, along with Raina, who has now had her clairvoyant wishes and caviar dreams fulfilled. But with the surprise visit of Nick Fury... The technological know-how of Sky and the butt-kicking know-how of May, Coulson and his team are able to confront Garrett, Ward, and Deathlok, and they might just be able to pull this thing out yet.
Oh, my gosh.
And more on this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This was the same length of show, of an episode, as we've had the rest of the season, right?
It was the same length of episode, yet, strangely enough, just if you look kind of at statistics, had the same amount of action as the first 10 episodes of the season.
That is definitely true. And as we were able to announce last week, S.H.I.E.L.D. did get picked up for a second season, so thank God there. A lot of great mysteries. I'm sure if they didn't get picked up, they probably would have just cut off a couple of the endings.
that they had on this episode, I'm guessing. A couple of the extra mystery endings.
You think so? See, I would,
if they didn't if get picked was, up, yeah, I think. I mean, I think they knew they were going to get picked up.
If it was me as a writer, I'd keep them on there.
That's,
to show them.
That's evil. That's just evil.
I hate when they do that.
Well,
we know we're getting canceled, so we're just going to throw some other crap in there.
And maybe it'd make a spinoff or a movie or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's true. So what, like do 13 episodes of a show and then make a movie like 4 years later? That's kind of lame.
Well, not on purpose, but...
Sorry, Serenity.
If they're going to... Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, they will be back. They're staying on Tuesdays, but they are moving to a new time of 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. So I guess 8 to 9 Central and Mountain. Is that how that works? Mr. Mountain Time?
I would answer that if I ever actually I watched it when it was on, but I always DVR it. So, but I think
you just
that's
set
right.
your DVR and it just goes right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is right though. Now, what they had on, the Goldbergs was on right after this, which I think was on at 8. So Mountain Time. So yeah, I guess it is. It's later 1 hour.
Okay, I just didn't know how they do that. I guess it's just there's a West Coast feed and there's an East Coast feed. I guess that's how they do it. Anyway, and then, Lou, I'm sure you heard about this, that they actually picked up Agent Carter as well, and they said that that will now be airing at a mid-season break. So we're going to see, I'm assuming S.H.I.E.L.D.'s getting another 22 episodes, so we're guessing 11 episodes, and then some number of episodes of Agent Carter, and then we're going to come back for the other 11 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, that's really cool because, you know, you get that mid-season break now that a lot of shows are doing, and you get that, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks worth of, what do I watch now? You know, so it's going to fill in the time pretty good.
Well, and what's cool about that is the fact that, I mean, I would love to have Agent Carter on at the same time, but what it looks like now that they're going to do is the fact that they, Coulson's going to be rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D., and Agent Carter's series takes place after Captain America, the First Avenger, and after her little one-shot where she has been promoted to Washington to work with Howard Stark to build S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're going to be seeing S.H.I.E.L.D. built, supposedly, in two different time frames, from the initial building point in the 40s or 50s or whatever it is there, and then again in the present era as it gets rebuilt. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also gives Josh and I a chance to cover actually two shows on our podcast next year. It's kind of tricky how we do this. We don't tell the IRS about this kind of stuff. It kind of goes under the radar. It's just the one show. It's just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think we'll be talking Agent Carter, too. So
I'm still giving them like 15% of what I'm making now, which is, you know, nothing.
What?
So.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we get into talking about the unthinkable beginning of the end. This is a... I am torn here. I feel like I've said this a couple times before, but I am not sure which season finale was better, whether it was the Arrow season finale or whether it was the S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale, because they were both amazing. But we're going to discuss the S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale on this particular episode. And what's cool is Josh and I also are going to discuss the Arrow season finale on our other podcast. So, I mean, I can't think of a better way to go out of the season here.
I watched these two, Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I watched them back-to-back, and it was a tense night. I had a hard time getting to sleep that night. I had so much going on in my head. So,
it was mind-melting. I mean, literally, there was so much going on. I mean, not like Garrett mind-melting. Like, anyway, so let's talk about Garrett here. He, as you mentioned, he kind of went to, what did you say, Psychotown?
Yeah.
He took the Ozzy Osbourne crazy train, and I don't think he went off the rails, actually, with that. So I'm going to, since Josh, I talk to you about this kind of stuff all the time, I'm going to start with Lou here. Lou, do you think that Garrett got what he deserved in the end? Like, is this, does, you know... He kind of got his wish fulfillment. He became a real boy, and then became a puppet again and then died. So,
yeah, that was kind of a jarring scene, I thought, actually. I was, you know, all set to say, okay, so he's going to be the new bad guy for season two also. Cool. And then, okay, maybe not.
Well, so you thought that as well. So, because as soon as I saw, like, I saw him get stomped on, and I'm like, oh, okay, so that's the end of him. Then
right.
They put him in that.
Well, he climbed up in the chair himself. He, you know, the hand came up.
Well, they put
him
in that sarcophagus. So then the soldiers, like, packed him up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And at that point, I was like, oh, well, there's the body right there. Dude, they didn't know he's coming back. So I was thinking the same thing. At that point, I was thinking, oh, yeah, he'll be back next season. Well, they kind of disproved that one pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, we often have this discussion, dead or alive, you know, especially on Arrow, the characters tend to come back. So what do you think? Garrett, dead or alive?
He might come back. I mean, you know, you've seen those lava lamps with that stuff that flows up inside that, you know, he could be that character next year.
Oh, and you know he's into lava lamps.
Yeah,
he
was
mentioned
talking
that
about
when
that.
He was, yeah, when he was looking at the gravitonium, he likes lava lamps.
So. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, if he does have some kind of cosmic awareness, I mean, obviously he did not see that coming. I would love to have just had him, you know, turned and see Coulson goes like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And but I thought the way they did it was brilliant. But yeah, he could use whatever his awareness is to pull him back together. I always go out on the limb here. I'm going to say dead.
Okay. All right.
If you feel really strongly about it, I'll go with you on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say alive, just in case. So somebody wins that way.
So, but did he deserve to, like, I mean, he was a pretty bad guy. And he did some pretty heinous things. And it wasn't even for the righteousness of Hydra. It was very, very self-centered, as we found out in this episode. It was really all for himself. Do you think he was fairly killed?
Yeah,
is that justified?
So. I think so. I mean, okay. I don't like it when shows are too easy on people, and they clearly weren't easy on him. So I think he got what he deserved. I actually was happy to see that happen the way it did.
It did. Yeah, it was a satisfying, as far as an audience sort of wish fulfillment piece for it. I felt it was satisfying. So there's a lot of talking in the episode about, you know, what characters wanted. We find out that Garrett really wanted a cure. Ward, he wanted something, but he's not even sure what he wants. At this point, Josh, I'm wondering if Ward got off easy or if he got what he deserved, and what is it that he may want for himself?
Oh, boy.
I know I'm asking really tough questions tonight, but it's a season finale, so we've got
to. Well, it is. It almost felt to me like, first of all, I did think Ward got what he deserved. As far as what now, it really kind of surprised me. I really thought that they were going to have him somehow join the team, or at the very least sacrifice himself to save the team. But he really never seemed to look back. He never even considered it, at least what we saw.
He didn't consider joining the team. I think he was definitely having second thoughts, but it was not necessarily to go back to Coulson's group. It was
right,
just,
right. And that's what I meant.
Geez, John, you've really gone off the deep end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, wait a minute. This guy's nuts. I understand that. So now what happens now, though, I don't know. It seemed like he was almost struggling with himself. Like he had all this conflict inside that, what have I done? You know, I've spent my entire life following this guy. And it turns out I was probably wrong, you know. So
yeah.
I think he'll be back in some capacity, but man, I don't know how.
Well, I mean, first off, I got to give props to May. Nailed him. So
again,
and he was never on top. Oh my gosh, the quips in this episode. I mean. We've got to get Marissa and Jed to write more episodes because I felt that I maybe I didn't understand the characters enough. And even going back and watching the pilot again, everything sounds a little forced. I'm hearing other characters in these new actors as they're reading the lines. Like, I'm hearing characters from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog or from Buffy or things like that, the other things that Jed and Marissa have written previously. But now in the season finale here after 22 episodes, like, these characters have their own voices, and the quips that they were doing, Skye's quips were great, Coulson's quips were great, Nick Fury had some splendid one-liners and stuff going throughout the episode. But going back to Ward here, he got the snot beat out of him. He's obviously got a long time to think about what he's done. I think Garrett got off easy, being basically put out of his misery. I believe it's Coulson that says that Ward has the punishment of basically living and having to realize the fact that he was a part of all of this. And I'm really curious as to what's going to happen next, because Ward, as we were seeing in this episode, he's really unable to function outside of any kind of military/rule-based structure. He goes up to Garrett at one point and says, "All right, so what do I do now?" And Garrett's like, "Whatever you want to do. Like, what do you want to do?" And he's like, "Just give me an order." And he's like, "I don't know." So it's the man was broken from a very early age. As we saw, he was, what was it? Like, what were we saying, Josh? Like 16 or something like that when we saw him in Ragtag?
In the flashbacks? At the end? Toward the end?
Well, in the flashbacks, he was in juvie.
When he was in juvie, he was like 16, yeah.
Okay.
But then by the end of the episode, he was more of an adult.
Yeah, exactly. But, really early on, he was already in trouble and obviously had been psychologically and emotionally abused since, an early age, potentially by more than just his brother. It sounds like his parents weren't, much better or anything like that. So it seems like they've got a potential to put him on a path to redemption. And I'm sure that he will be on the show next year in some fashion. I just don't know how they would do that. Because he's not going to be part of the team. It's not going to be like when Skye messed up and they're going to put a bracelet on him.
No, right? No, it would have to be. No, he's got to pay for his actions.
Yeah.
But you know what? If we knew how they were going to do it, then it wouldn't be any good. So
yeah.
Hopefully they'll come up with a good way and we'll be satisfied by it. But so I'm okay not necessarily knowing right now.
Yeah, a lot of surprises in this episode too, which was great, because there were things that I was expecting them to do, which they didn't do, and then the things that I was expecting them to do, but later, like when I said that Garrett was going to come back, they did it right away, and then they took care of it. So.
If I could add something about Ward for a second, back when he was fighting with May and she nailed him to the floor, he had that one, I feel it was the exact line, wait, May, but it sounded like he was really sincere about almost like, no, I'm undercover. I'm on your side. Obviously we know he wasn't, but he had that sound to his voice. And I really felt he was really almost ready to come back. And obviously he can't, and they've got to keep him as a prisoner. And they talked about torturing him both mentally and externally and, everything else. But it had that feel. And I've been waiting for him to redeem himself for the last three or four episodes. I was strongly in his corner saying, yep, he's coming back. He's not really on their side. He's just, there's something going on that I don't know about. And I was wrong, but
I'm glad they didn't do that, because it actually would have felt forced if he had redeemed himself by the end of the season. If they didn't get picked up, that would have been a okay thing to do, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, every week it was getting harder and harder for me to stay on his side, but I was really hoping for a while. I was like, I guess it's not going to happen.
I'm glad you brought up that part where he was trying to say, hey, wait a second, to May.
Yeah.
Because again, we talk about these echoes and about the repetitive nature and the two sides of the same coin and everything that we've been talking about all season. Well, actually, the latter half of the season here, now that we've discovered the Hydra it has been within S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything like that. Going back to the episode The Well, where we first found out about Ward's potential abuse and the problems that he had with his brother, that was also the episode with the Berserker Staff that tied into Thor. When he first got the Berserker Staff and May was fighting him, and then he's like, okay, I'm cool, and then she hits him again, right? Because it seemed like, you know, she wasn't quite sure that he was not under control. There was a very much of an echo to that fight as well. Or no, I'm sorry. It wasn't The Well. It was Yes Man. It was the one with Lorelai, where they were fighting. And he got out, you know, wasn't under control, and he was doing the same thing. He was about to say, hey, wait a second, I'm fine. And then, bam, she punches him again. So I just thought that was an interesting echo, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next thing I wanted to bring up, which I think was an important part of this episode, which they turned into a funny little bit here with Nick Fury, but it's Coulson talking about Fury's, I guess it's called the one man speech, and it's that a man can accomplish anything when he realizes he's part of something bigger. And then the rest of the quote was a team of people that share that conviction can change the world, which I believe, again, this is a very structured quote, but it applies to so many different elements of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. It applies to S.H.I.E.L.D. itself. It applies to Hydra. It applies to Coulson's team. Lou, I wanted to get your thoughts on this and about, you know, what you saw with the way that these individuals have come together over the course of the season and formed this team, even though they've had, you know, betrayal and things like that going on with them.
Yeah, over the course of the season, like you said before, I think we've found the characters that, or they've found themselves. And I tend to do this a lot with shows in the first season. It's tough for actors, I think, to really understand their characters and how they fit together. And it was themselves and the team coming together all at the same time. So I felt it was a really good synergy that the characters are finding themselves and the characters in the show were coming together as more of a cohesive team. Because in the beginning, the first half, they were really kind of a mismatched bunch of people. And it felt kind of forced, like they were forced together, and they didn't really work that well together. But towards the end, they all came together to the point where, hey, we are a fighting team. And it, I see how you say it does reflect onto all of S.H.I.E.L.D. itself and all of Hydra for that fact. But I thought that the team building atmosphere of the season was great, that now they're coming together as a very cohesive team, even with new members. You know, we saw the team standing together at the very end. And it felt very good to me. I was like, okay, this is our team next year. I'm good with that.
Well, and the fact that you mentioned it's also about the you know, the staff of the show coming together to work together as a team too. I think that's a really interesting aspect of it as well, and the one that I hadn't even thought about. Josh, can you talk a little bit about how Garrett, I guess, misheard this? That's the kind of the joke they used. I'm wondering if he really did mishear it, or if he's just being a jerk to Nick Fury because he's there.
well, I think he turned it into what he believes, you know, turned it into who he really is. I don't think he probably misheard it, but yeah. Let's see, what did he say? A man can accomplish anything when he realizes
he can be bigger. Something bigger. Yeah.
He can be something bigger, yeah.
Not being a part of something bigger, but he can be something bigger.
Right. So I think, you know, again, people change their perception based on what they want to believe. And, you know, he wants to believe that he's the best. He wants to believe that he's all powerful and that he's in control. Mm-hmm. And I guess it all stems from being, you know, left by S.H.I.E.L.D., left to die by S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what it sounded like anyway, from the sort of the backstory explanation from last week.
Right.
Now, but that was good, though, with Nick Fury.
Yeah. So, dude, you understood what I was saying? Right. It's like, oh, man, he is crazy.
yeah, that was great.
Doesn't listen.
I just keep wanting to wait for Nick Fury to drop an MF-er right there, the bleep or something. I mean, just this would have been a perfect opportunity for it. But even with that explanation that we saw last week in Ragtag where we find out the reason that Garrett wants to kind of get involved with Hydra is because he feels, like you said, Josh, S.H.I.E.L.D. has left him out to rot. I mean, that they, you know, he got injured. He wasn't going, you know, to get rescued. So basically he had to take accountability for himself, pull himself up by his own bootstraps, so to speak, and save him. So he, you know, that obviously pissed him off enough that he felt he needed to do damage to S.H.I.E.L.D. So he was working with Hydra. So, you know, I mean, this entire time I've been thinking, and I don't think there's any reason why we wouldn't be thinking this, that, you know, he's kind of this loyal follower of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we find out that this guy's even, like, worse than that. I mean, he's like the lowly little maggot. He's really only in it for himself.
Yeah, he's not even a loyal follower of Hydra.
No, he's just a jerk. And he was talking about then, you know, getting, you know, taking his little splinter cell of soldiers that he's got. It sounded like he wanted to go and, you know, take it to another level and, like, fight against Hydra or something like that. I don't know. I mean, he was obviously spouting all sorts of crazy talk.
Oh, yeah. He was ultra crazy there. I mean, when he came in to talk to the general there, that's that's when I knew he had totally lost it and was probably just out for everything for himself. You know, he didn't care. He was just gonna take it all.
Lou, had you ever seen a scene like that graphic outside of The Walking Dead with the general?
Yeah, not on TV. No, I was pretty surprised by that. I mean, that was a that was always like, wow, am I watching a movie or nope? This is
that
right
was,
on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I just interject real quick?
Yeah,
that was a little too much, I thought.
You did.
I didn't think it was necessary, and because of when this show is on and who it has attracted, and I know for a fact because, you know, I'm a teacher and I have quite a few students who watch this show, mm-hmm. and I thought that was a little over the top for this show. You know, me personally, not offended by things such as that. I mean, I watch Walking Dead, and that's just mm-hmm. they pretty much do that as they're monologuing. You know, that's just in the background. But I didn't care for that.
What time does this show air? I you know, like
it's,
Josh,
it's
I
an
DVR
8 PM show.
8 p.m. Okay, yeah, that's a bit
much
8
p.m.
for
here, and then like 7 in Mountain and Central time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not offended by it either. But you're right. I think children watching this that's a bit over the top for them.
I think they could have done it without and still got the point across that this guy is seriously freaking out in a psychotic way. I'm running out of adjectives for crazy psychotic people. but anyway, it's they could have done it without going over the top. So I won't badmouth the show and I won't go on about it. But I did want to just say out of the whole episode there, that stood out to me. So
no, I appreciate you bringing it up. I mean, I think it's a valid point, and the way they depicted it is that you see him like thrust his arm towards the general's midsection, and the guy kind of seizes up, and like I could tell what was going. I mean, I couldn't tell exactly what was going on, but I'm pretty sure he had his hand inside the guy's chest. The blood starts leaking out of the general's mouth, and he's monologuing. And I thought that was fine. I do feel that
agreed.
Him holding A, the rib bone, and B, his entire hand covered with blood. I mean, that was a little much. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, we already knew this guy was kind of psycho, and he's a bad guy, right? So the scene is supposed to tell us, like, really, really how bad this guy is, right? But, I mean, again, I don't know if that necessarily...
If there's any question before, there was no question after that scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and not to get on a soapbox, but, I mean, there's so many things on TV these days that are not what I remember seeing as a kid on, primetime television. Mm-hmm. both scenes and language. I'm like, occasionally my wife and I'll pause the TV show and say, did they just say that word on they did. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know.
Agreed. However, we haven't seen that kind of thing in this show so far.
Right. It's
it
been
really
the,
hasn't.
I mean, even in a Marvel movie, I don't think we've seen anything to that
quite
level.
Quite as graphic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even Iron Man 3, which had some pretty rough moments with, like, people's limbs being hacked off, you know, but even though they were under the Extremis power or whatever, it's still kind of done in that kind of cartoony, fictional realm. This was in that really kind of gritty, real realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So, anyway, we don't have to go off on it too much. There's lots of good stuff to talk about, but... But I did want to just throw out my opinion there.
Not necessary. I will say Bill Paxton, though, played it marvelously. I mean, just, you know,
yes.
Ian Quinn tells him he needs a demonstration. Oh, yeah. Yeah, demonstration. Of course. Yeah, demonstration, everyone. Yep. Okay. You know, I mean, who else but Bill Paxton could pull that off? The image I saw of him... what did it say? It said, the only man killed by a predator, an alien, a Terminator, and a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or something like that. I think that's what it said.
Nice.
That's awesome. Very cool.
So, okay. I'm going to sit out of this part of the discussion, Josh, but you can go ahead and talk about Fitz and Simmons here.
Okay. All right. So... All right, everybody, grab your Kleenex box there. Get nice and close. But there was a big scene with Fitz and Simmons as they're sitting on the bottom of the ocean. A lot of emotional talk about the characters, about their relationship, about life and death. It was a really good scene that I wouldn't have expected in this particular episode, the season finale, because of all the other action that was going on. But it worked, and it fit pretty well, I felt. Now, the one thing that we have to kind of wonder about, after they escaped out of the box, I guess, I don't even... What was the purpose of that thing on the plane? I mean, it wasn't a holding cell, was it?
It was the med pod that Sky was in.
Oh, okay. All right. So they generally have med pods that can eject from planes? Is that...
Well, remember, we saw it being loaded into the side of the plane. Like, it's... Well, on what they were saying, it's a pod that can be put into any of their spacecraft, aircraft, watercraft, submarines, whatever it was.
Hmm.
So it...
All right.
It's a multi-purpose pod. I guess it's an... I don't know. It's a modular design for S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes more sense. I was just curious why it would, you know, just pop out. But they're down there, and Fitz is trying to figure a way to get him out before she ever wakes up, but he doesn't. And she ends up coming up with an idea that helps them. But, you know, he has to essentially sacrifice himself in a way, or at least he thinks he may be sacrificing himself. Because once they pop out that window, there's only one oxygen mask that's going to help him get to the top. And once they get to the top, Nick Fury helps him out. After Nick Fury pulls them out, you don't see Fitz again for the rest of the episode. And they talk about him a little bit, you know? Simmons says... that he's alive. She says that at the end, you know, how is he? You know, she says he's alive. And Coulson, I think, says, you know, he's not going to be the same. Or I think he was telling Ward that or something, right? So...
Yeah, he may never be the same again because he was...
Right.
That he was without oxygen for a long time, yeah.
So, you know, you have to really wonder where is Fitz going from here? I mean, did it cause some brain damage? Did it... Did it really change who he was? I mean, he really put himself out there to Simmons and told how he felt and made sure she knew. And then he really expected to die, I think. I don't think he had planned on living. But They were talking a little bit, and I want to pull. I want to talk about an email that we got or a message on Facebook, I think, from one of our listeners, Matthew, and it. He talks about in the season finale here, there's a reference to a Roman poet philosopher, Lucretius. When Fitzsimmons were in the box and they were talking about death, Fitz said that his mom had told him that we shouldn't fear death because when we die, it will be a lot like it was before we were born. And that wasn't so bad. So, and they talked a little bit about that on the show. But what Matthew wanted to share is that this is the argument from Lucretius's philosophy poem that on the nature of things or on the nature of the universe, the argument is called the symmetry argument. And the purpose of this argument is therapeutic and that it's supposed to stop us from being afraid of death. And I think that's kind of what they were doing in that scene. I think it probably helped too. It seemed like Fitz was comfortable making that sacrifice because I don't know.
Didn't
what do you
help
guys
me,
do you,
man?
Didn't help you.
At the bottom of the ocean, there was a lot of dust in the room. I will tell you that.
Do you think it's out there now? Does he love her? Is that what we're meant to think, or is it just a really strong affection and they really care about each other and that's kind of where it's headed?
What do you think about that, Lou?
I think he loves her. I think he has all season. I think there's always been that, you know, almost forbidden topic of that he doesn't want to discuss.
You know, and what about her?
I don't.
What do you think? How do you think she feels?
I think she likes him as a friend. He's in that friend zone.
She totally put him in the friend zone. I saw somebody post online. They said, and with all that he just pours his heart out, and she's kissing him all over his face, yet not on the lips. Welcome to the friend zone. That was that whole sequence was just heart wrenching because he's made the decision. He knows what he's going to do, and she's like, you know, no, and she starts to yell at him, and then boom, he blows the seal. And I'm like, well, that's horrible. She's right in the middle of a scream, so she's like wasting all this oxygen when he blows it. I mean that's what the first thing that I thought of, but unfortunately, but they also besides the stuff that Matthew referenced, which is really good. I have no idea. I had no idea that was actually based on a Roman philosopher. They were also talking about it from a very scientific standpoint as well. Simmons had the whole element of the first law of thermodynamics where matter can neither be created nor destroyed and that when they die, you know, they'll just go into the universe and they may be part of some other animal or part of a supernova or something like that. It's it was very much part of the whole theme, I think, of what the this episode and some of the last few episodes have been touching on this, but I think the theme of this episode was definitely evolution. And so as we kind of talk about the rest of the episode, I want to bring this theme back into there because it touches on things that are happening with S.H.I.E.L.D., with Coulson's team, and with some of the other characters that we haven't talked about yet, like Reyna and Sky. And possibly Fitz here because, like you said, Josh, we don't know what what's going to come from, about him. And man, I think you and I both, you know, really enjoyed those characters from the start. They were meant to be very likable characters, and of course, you know, killing Fitz is like killing the family dog. It's like killing Buddy.
Well, and even it's worse than killing Buddy. Even so, the thing about it that makes it so much more emotional for me, you know, if something like this were to happen to just about any of the other characters, except for, you know, maybe Simmons, because I kind of see them as one, but is that he's got such a brilliant mind. I mean, this guy is a genius, and you know that. When you're, you know, in a situation like that where you've lost the oxygen or you're drowning, whatever, that you could really damage your brain, your intelligence, and that's who he is. You know, he's not some tough guy like Ward that he could build that back up and muscles and you know, I mean, he's that's him. That's who he is. So you know that it could really, really, really change things in a way that could be very difficult, you know, if not just
And can I tell our listeners, in order to illustrate that point very succinctly, you put a nice image of the Multiplicity guy number 4 from the Michael Keaton film here. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I like pizza. but of course, I knew exactly what you were getting at. I mean, Fitz could be that way when he's done. I feel that, I mean, he's alive. I think he'll be back for next season. I don't think they're going to mess him up too much, but I think there will obviously be some trauma, whether that's physical or emotional. But I want to see, or both. But I definitely want to see the scene where he confronts Ward, because he was the one person, as Sky was telling Ward back at the Cybertech headquarters, that was, you know, he was being a hero because he was standing up for Ward, even in the face of, you know, all these people saying, no, Ward is bad, you know, and that's how much Fitz believed in Ward, and for Ward to, you know, dump him and Simmons that way, it's just that is going to be an amazing scene for them to write and to film and everything like that. And it is also going to be a shame that he didn't have the ability to be part of the downfall of Garrett like he wanted to be, because that was one of the other things he really wanted. So. All right, so getting on with some of these the mysteries that we are left with in the show here as we are coming up towards the end of the show here. So as I was talking about evolution being kind of the theme, Raina asks Garrett, what will I become? And I think we're supposed to believe that she got an answer from him. Unfortunately, we don't know what that is. Lou, I'm going to pose this to you. I want to find out what everybody kind of thinks about these. What do you think she's going to become, or who or what is she currently?
You know, I really don't have any clue. Okay. In fact, when I was watching the show, when the last sequence came on with her there, and I was thinking, my mind went blank. And went, oh, yeah, she's still in the show. It was like almost like I'd written her off. She was done. That was the end. We're going to see her character. And she came back, but oh yeah, okay. There's a whole other thing here. So I don't know where they're going with that. I really don't. I am a blank slate.
So she also talked about how Garrett is connected now. I think she was explaining this to Ward. It was, you know, she's always seemed to have some other kind of insight. She was always asking about the clairvoyant because she felt like that this person, if there was someone that was truly clairvoyant, they could answer a question for her. And then Garrett, you know, got that ability, basically, this kind of cosmic awareness, as we talked about last week. And just the fact that she mentions that Garrett is connected, which is kind of tied in, I think, to the hashtag that they've been using for the show, which is it's all connected. Josh, I'm just wondering what you think she thought Garrett was connected to, or like what she thought he was evolving into. Like, how did she see him at that point?
Well, it seemed, you know, based on what he was saying, how, you know, I can see the universe, or now I can see through the gravitonium, you know, that kind of thing. Like, he now has this clarity that is maybe not originally what she thought as clairvoyant, as reading minds and things like that, but it seems like he can see into things, and it almost feels like whatever she's looking for is kind of tucked away inside of her, you know, almost like it is for Sky. And we know that those two are somehow connected. They have some sort of thing that they share, you know, at least that's what it seems like. And right. So maybe just by looking, and that's what a clairvoyant would do. You know, they'd be able to read your mind or see inside of you. And now she sees him as being able to see deeper into things. And apparently he gave her an answer that satisfied her because she changed drastically after she talked to him. So right. he has supposedly seen inside of her to see what she was, or at least given her some sort of direction as to where to go.
Right. I mean, she was ready to leave. She said she wasn't loyal to Hydra. She wasn't loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D. She wasn't loyal to Centipede.
Right.
You know,
but I have a question for you about that, because at the end, she went and just talked to who we are to assume is Skye's father. Yeah. Is that what you thought too?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found your daughter, you know, she said. So
it looked like a man, so I was assuming that was her father. Yep.
So,
because that was the picture.
How, you know, we don't even know who that is, but she knew of this guy or this thing before she talked to Garrett.
Right.
So she must have some sort of insight about what's going on.
Well, she says that she knows what Skye, she knows about Skye's true nature and that it will reveal itself. And it also has some linkage to Reyna herself.
Yeah.
Right. Now, they're both apparently of Asian descent. I'm not sure if Reyna is Chinese. I'm thinking she might be like part Chinese. Skye is, well, the actress who plays Skye is part Chinese as well. She was actually a pop singer in China, which I did not realize until like this week.
Oh, ooh, that's cool. Hey, well, I'm gonna have to.
There's a video
out
of her singing in Mandarin, Chloe Bennett. Yeah. So, all the great things you find out on this podcast, you know? I mean,
that's right.
Where else do you get that?
I find all the great things out here.
but so I don't know if they share some kind of lineage, like if we're going to find out that they're, you know, cousins or sisters that they don't know about or something like that. Because, right, Skye doesn't know anything about herself. What we know is the fact that that's been revealed in the episodes that she is a baby that was found by some S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and taken in and moved around through orphanages. That the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that found her, or a number of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents were killed. There was a town that she was found in, and the town was entirely wiped out by these quote-unquote monsters. And, of course, in the Marvel Universe now, you have to wonder, when they say monsters, are they being figurative or are they being literal? Because, you know, you can talk about people like John Wayne Gacy as being a monster, but then you can talk about the Hulk as being a monster, and you kind of get both sides of that. So I'm thinking they're being kind of literal about the term monsters. I've heard a lot of stuff bandied about, and I've had this discussion with a couple people at work. I'm thinking that there is a good possibility that she is, because they can't be mutants as like X-Men mutants, because that's kind of off limits for the Marvel Cinematic Universe based on just lawyers and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that they may be part of a group called the Inhumans. And the Inhumans are a group of individuals that live in, well, they live in various places around the world, but they were, a long time ago, their genetic makeup was experimented on by Kree scientists. And the Kree are an alien species, which we may or may not have already seen in the tube, which would have been the serum that Skye was revived with. Oh. The way that, but now the, so the Inhumans in the comic series are characters like Medusa or Black Bolt or Gorgon. And they are, you know, like people, like Medusa has hair that she controls and it like moves around by itself and picks things up and all sorts of stuff like that. In a new series that, they've been doing called Inhuman, it's more like, the TV show Heroes, where there's this mist that's kind of been, put out into the Earth's atmosphere, and it's causing certain character or certain people to have genetic mutations and turn into, like, you know, to get a superpower or something like that. So I'm thinking there's kind of like a trigger gene or something like that that we'll see. And something will trigger, you know, in Sky here at some point, and we'll find out more about that. But they just haven't given us enough to go on. There's, like I think I've said this before, there's really no one character that she is like.
No, but that's a great theory. I love that idea of that kind of an origin, and that makes a lot of sense.
Hmm. Now, last week when you guys were talking about the whole monster concept, and I think you guys are more leaning towards an actual monster, not a person who's so evil they are a monster. And I was kind of thinking to myself when I was listening to the podcast, I'm like, no, I think they're off base. I think her parents were monsters, as in people that were so bad they were considered monsters. But seeing the character that they had at the end, his hand dripping, I'm like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe he is a monster of some sort. Because, I mean, I don't know what that was.
It looked like blood.
Yeah.
Well, but it didn't. The way they described what had happened when they found Sky, to me, it sounded more like an actual monster. I mean, it just sounded like something that, something unexplainable took place, you know, as opposed to just some evil person taking everybody out.
Okay.
So that's kind of why I was leaning toward the monster idea. But, yeah, you're right. After seeing the guy's hand.
Now, let me throw this other thing out, because that guy, I mean, it looked humanoid, right? We were seeing the back. And
right.
We couldn't really tell. And it could work either way, right? You know, it's like it could have been a person sitting there, you know, pulling a rib out of somebody's belly and then reaches out and gets the photo. I mean, you know, there's no context really for us to figure out what's going on. But with the Asian influence of both Reyna and Sky, as we've talked about, the fact that this happened in the, I think it was the Hunan province, as they've talked about, I'm wondering if we are not going to see the Mandarin, the actual Mandarin, show up here. Because there was talk about that, you know, for Iron Man, the fact that you've got this guy who's pretending to be the Mandarin.
Now, do you just, are you guessing that just because of
I just
of
watched Iron Man 3 again, so.
Oh, just because of kind of where this is taking place and where it seems to originate and that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I have,
well,
again, I don't have any inside information on this, you know, and.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait a second. I see everything. No,
you are the clairvoyant.
No. But, you know, there's... Josh, I can't remember if we've discussed this. Have you seen the most recent short called All Hail the King?
Is that the one with the Mandarin?
With Trevor in jail, yeah.
Right, exactly. I haven't seen it yet, no, but you were telling me about it.
Okay, Lou, have you seen that one?
No, I have not.
So, basically, and this is going to be a spoiler here if you guys haven't watched it on the, I think it's on the Thor Blu-ray. But it's Marvel's newest one-shot, and it's called All Hail the King. And it's a reporter comes into jail to interview Trevor Slattery, yes, about him being the Mandarin. And so the guy sets up his video camera and is taping this, and you got the guards, and he's got a very posh room that's like a private room and everything for him. And as he goes on, he's telling his whole story about how he got hired for the job and everything like that. And you find out, you know, he's just an actor. I mean, just like he said in Iron Man 3, that he's just this kind of actor. And then you see the guy that's doing the interview. You notice that he's got this weird tattoo on his forearm, and then all of a sudden the camera starts transforming into a gun, and it ejects a gun out, and he, the interviewer guy, shoots the guards in the room and takes Trevor hostage, and you then realize that this tattoo on his arm is the tattoo of the 10 rings, and he says, you know, my boss really wants to talk to you. And you're coming with me, and that's where the short ends. So what that has set up for us is the fact in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, there really is a Mandarin. Trevor was pretending to be the Mandarin, and the real Mandarin is really kind of pissed. So my thought is that it would be cool for them to be able to bring that into S.H.I.E.L.D. But there's also the potential for that to come into those Netflix series as well, with like The Defenders and Iron Fist and Daredevil and things like that. Though those are not normally people that fight the Mandarin. I mean, the Mandarin's usually like a Iron Man sort of villain. But, you know, again, just kind of based on, like Josh said, you know, based on the location and everything like that of all this. And the Mandarin's supposed to be a pretty nasty guy. You know, he could be considered a monster. Mm. So, I don't know. Some interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm here for. So, all right. So, let's see. We kind of discussed Skye's lineage. Let me see. I think there was something else I wanted to say about that. No, I don't think. I think we can go on for that. If I figure out what it is, I'll come back to it. But, Lou, what do you think Coulson and S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to do from here? What's the next step?
I was hoping for like 5 more seconds of footage to see what they were looking at. I'm excited for next season. I can't wait to see how they rebuild this. I have no idea what they're going to do and how that little tiny box is going to help them. I mean, good things come in small packages, so who knows what's in there? I mean, we know the coordinates are in there.
Yeah. Well, it's like some kind of data cube is what it looks like. I mean, you know, yeah, like you said, the first thing you got was these coordinates for the
playground. Was it
the playground? The playground was it? And the toy box was inside the playground, I guess.
Okay.
So. Josh, you got any ideas? You think Fury is going to be back?
I think he'll be back. I think it'll be a while. I think we're to assume that he's out there doing stuff on his own without most people knowing. He's probably got a few close allies that he relies on, but he's probably going to be, you know, very in the shadows doing things. So
he can count them on one hand, his allies.
You know? Yes, and he's not afraid to cut off fingers.
That was great.
So where do they go from here? I think Coulson is going to have to start building S.H.I.E.L.D. by recruiting people in a way that he kind of built his own team, especially in a way that he got Skye. Okay, so next season, they're going to start.
He's going to go kidnap people.
Exactly right. No, in a way that, you know, where he identifies people with skills like Skye had, and yes. Kind of recruit them like that, you know, which he sort of did with her. So that's how I kind of think he's going to build it up. You know, and from the end of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, it was obvious that there are a lot of people that were in S.H.I.E.L.D., even though now apparently, you know, it's been disbanded, but there were people within S.H.I.E.L.D. that were still loyal.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they ended up taking some things back. So he can start there. He can start looking around for people. I would suggest that he would look for whoever is responsible for fueling the airplane, because otherwise his search is going to be very short-lived.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, since they're at a Fury secret base now, that mm-hmm. maybe there is some fuel there.
Right. Well, of course, yeah, right. It's not going to last forever. But the good thing about being at that base is that there are going to be at least some resources right. available to him. You know, computer access and probably some, you know, some data records of former S.H.I.E.L.D. agents or current S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
agents.
It can be a new home base, basically.
Exactly. Now the one thing that I had thought about this as far as moving forward is, why does it, and of course, I mean, on the show, of course, otherwise it would completely change, but why does it have to be S.H.I.E.L.D.? If you're doing this in real life, start something else. I mean, start the same idea, but change the name.
well, and that's what's happened in the comics several times. I mean, they've got S.W.O.R.D., they've got Hammer, there have been a couple other organizations that have
right.
replaced S.H.I.E.L.D.
They won't do that here. Obviously, that's the name of the show. So,
right.
But in reality, you know, you'd want to, if you want to build trust again with the rest of the world who doesn't trust you anymore, then you start there. Otherwise, he's going to have to start building that trust, saying, "No, look, we are what's left of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're going to take this back."
Well, it sounds like what the overarching theme for season 2 will probably be Fury's word here from the end of this episode, which is protection. I thought that put it very succinctly. The fact that it's S.H.I.E.L.D. is built on protection, whether it's protecting one man against himself or, you know, an entire world against an invading army of aliens or something like that. Now, you talked about how Coulson will have to go and find people like Sky. That got me thinking about something. So we saw Garrett go off the deep end, right? He got this overdose injection of this the GH-325, got this cosmic awareness and stuff like this. Went nuts, started drawing stuff on a piece of glass with a nail, I guess is what he wanted. I mean, are there no Sharpies in the Marvel Universe?
Or paper?
Or, well, I can see not doing it on paper because, you know, they're big picture people. They got to do stuff bigger than life. But still, I mean, really, you're going to carve it up? Okay, but then Coulson starts doing this at the end. He starts drawing these weird symbols as well. Does he have the same kind of insight that Garrett has? Lou, do you think that he will start being able to look at people and determine if they are worthy to join his new version of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Do you think that's how they're going to deal with some of the stuff?
I don't know. I don't know if that was meant to foreshadow that or if that was something totally different. I don't know if that was a foreshadowing of, well, hey, maybe he isn't really all that well. You know,
okay.
That's kind of what I got out of that, because they said, you know, well, there's consequences, and, you know, you brought me back from the dead, and, you know, they said, no, but you're okay, right? And, you know, he's like, yeah, but then at the very end, you see this, and you're like, you know, I don't see him turning into anything else but that. I don't know. I mean, that was a mystery I had, and I was hoping you guys were going to answer that for me. When I knew it was going to be on the show tonight, I'm like, ooh, they're going to tell me what those symbols meant. Cool.
You have to translate them.
Because we saw those in the episode where we first saw, it was an I Spy, I guess, right?
Right.
Yes.
And that wasn't, who did the symbols, who were they studying?
So, Josh, I went back and did a little research on this. This is the episode you missed with me. So this is the one where we had Special Agent Luby on. And so I didn't actually get to discuss this with you, but I will also point out that I said that Hydra was coming back in that episode, by the way. Episode 4.
Good job. Good job.
So, pat myself on the back right now. So the symbol showed up in I Spy. So what we didn't know at the time, but we know now, we can backtrack. So Ward was pretending to be Akila, who had the eye implant, which we didn't know who she was working for, but now we know she was part of the Cybertech group and interwoven with Centipede and all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the Cybertech gang spying on some other facility, this Belarusian facility that had these same symbols, and I put a nice screen grab from episode 4 and from the season finale up on our Facebook page if you guys want to check that out, showing it's the exact same thing, and it looks like a schematic, like a diagram for
a wiring diagram.
Transistor or wiring mm-hmm. diagram.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
So who knows what it is? You know, is it a weapon? Is it a power source? Is it a cure?
I think it's a message.
Is it the step that causes people like Sky to evolve and Reyna to, you know, to evolve to the next level? So the question is, okay, so Cybertech was looking for it, but what group had that on their chalkboard and why? The only thing I can think of is that it may be related to the people that were doing research at the guest house with the alien in the tank. But I don't know.
That makes sense.
But now, who is that? I gotta know.
Yeah,
I gots to know.
In doing a little research, looking at those symbols for me, I found a thing on geekprime.com that showed different scenes from some other episodes. One of the chalkboard writings from the I Spy episode,
mm-hmm.
there's a symbol or a series of symbols on the chalkboard that matches something that Coulson sees in his little split-second flashbacks, or was it a dream or something like that? And it really does match. The one that he flashes back to is more like a carving on a stone wall, uh-huh. And then the one on the chalkboard. So it's like a series of like seven little circles, and then right above that is three straight line marks, and then a larger hole, and it matches exactly the one on the chalkboard.
When was that flashback?
He was having dreams right before he found Tahiti, or it might have even been the Tahiti episode.
Okay. Wow.
When he was having, you know, little visions of sort of the cross, but the where it actually seemed like Tahiti, and then he was seeing, like, scenes in the operating room, that kind
yeah.
of thing.
It's all connected.
Yeah. So they really are thinking deep. I mean, they're looking at some details and hiding some serious deep Easter eggs in there.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, well, I'm saying it's obvious, but I don't know. That's just, you know, kind of a phrase I say. But it seems obvious that it's some kind of alien glyph or something like that. But what I find interesting, and what I also wanted to bring up about Sky earlier that I forgot about, was that Guardians of the Galaxy, which is going to be the first Marvel movie that moves us into outer space and introduces us to a bunch of aliens and all sorts of things that we don't know about yet, that comes uh-huh. out August 1st. So when S.H.I.E.L.D. returns, we will now have been introduced to aliens, and, I'm sure there is some space in the show for a little bit, you know, broader expanse and, you know, other things to happen in the way that we've interacted with the Asgardians and stuff like that to date. I think there might be a little more crossover with other elements of the Marvel Universe coming up.
Well, and that's good. I think that opens up the possibilities a little bit more than they have let themselves do so far in this show, because there's been a lot of talk of superpowers and real clairvoyance and things like that they've kind of discounted. They said, you know, there's, you know, we've done studies and we found that there's no right. real mind reading going on. So I think that's good. It opens them up to new possibilities.
So, Lou, I'm going to ask you this question because I think we asked you a similar question on the first episode of this season that you joined us on. But I'm going to change it around a little bit. So instead of asking about Coulson, I'm going to say Eric and Billy Koenig, LMDs.
I think we finally did get to see LMDs, yes. It would make perfect sense, because the way he said, I'll explain it later. You know, so, yeah, I think they are.
Well, they actually, I did not go back and watch Providence again, but I believe that everything that Billy said in this episode, except for the explaining about his brother who died, is verbatim about the same instructions and the same introductions that he made in Providence as Eric.
Okay. I wasn't sure it was exactly the same. I know a lot of the same stuff as they're talking about the lanyards, and we'll all get them eventually, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was a nice, you know, bookend, I guess you'd say, to those two episodes. But
yeah,
I was happy to see him. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad they brought him back.
Yeah, I was talking to my comic book guy about this, and I said, I'm really disappointed that they got rid of Patton Oswalt after two episodes. And he's like, well, if he had been on there, you know, if he was going to be on there for more episodes, you would hear about it. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And then I went in this week, and I was like, ha, he's back. So, and I feel like he is going to be part of the team next season, peripherally, because he will be at the base, which is they're going to be their headquarters, my guess. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking.
And they're going to need somebody at a base as opposed yeah. to a
they got to start building the team somewhere, so.
Exactly.
Rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. somewhere, yeah.
So, Josh, you think LMD as well?
I do. I do. That was my very first thought, and I'm sticking with it because I like the idea.
Oh, man, I feel bad. My first thought was twins. Because, I mean, Eric had talked about his brother that he games with, and going back to Fury's quote, how many people does Fury trust? He can count them on his hand. And before he says he would cut off fingers, I can count five people on my hand then. So you've got Coulson, Hill, May, because he obviously trusted May to look after Coulson. And then I got two fingers left, and those are two twins that run my two secret bases. But I like the LMD thing as well. I heard this interesting theory. One's named Billy with a B. One's named Eric with an E. If those are not the second and fifth generations of LMDs, you've also got Aaron. So it would be Aaron, Billy, like Charlie, David, and Eric or something like that. You know, they all are just alphabetical names. And I'm like, wow, that would be really cool if they did something like that as well.
See, when I saw it, I thought there was, you know, possibly more secret bases that we're going to find elsewhere in the world later on. And every base has one of these guys.
Has a Koenig.
Yes.
That would be great. And when we discussed Providence, Lou, we talked about how the fact that Eric Koenig is a character that was actually a Howling Commando back in World War II in the comic books.
Okay.
And they just used his name as the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. So how cool would it be if it's actually an LMD of the original Eric Koenig, who was a Howling Commando, which fulfill the Eric Koenig's wish fulfillment to be a Howling Commando.
Yeah.
So
it'd be cool.
That could be pretty cool as well. So final question for you guys. Are we going to get to see Trip sticking around? Lou, what do you think?
I say yes. They had that
now,
iconic...
Had you ever thought that Trip was going to be like a mole, like a deep mole, like a bad guy in any way?
No, he never gave me that vibe. You know, he always seemed like he was kind of straightforward, and he was always kind of there. There was that one sequence with the knife, I think it was, right, with Fitz. And I was like,
Simmons.
With Simmons, yeah. But it didn't pan out that way. I thought maybe they were trying to tease that, but I very quickly put out of my mind that he was, you know, he's a good guy and he's here to stay. And I, you know, now I'm guaranteeing he's here to stay because they had that shot at the very end with the five of them. Yeah, that's a poster shot right there. So yeah, he's part of the cast.
So Josh, you think he's sticking around as well?
I hope so because I really like him. So I hope he's here to stay. I think he'll be, if he's not there to stay, he'll be there for quite a while. I think Ward's going to be back quite a bit on the show in some capacity, and they'll work on his backstory even more, and then I think they're going to work on him redeeming himself, and it may end up being something like he sacrifices himself, Trip sacrifices himself to do something. I don't know, but I think Trip's going to be around for quite a while, and I like him, so I hope they kind of keep developing that character so people want him to stay, and then they can't get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, I've really grown to like him. I think he's a great guy. I mean, he's he's got some great one-liners. You know, this week the whole bringing the noise into funk whole thing. So that was good. And I was going to say he adds a lot of color to the show, and I don't mean that in any kind of racial way. It's just he is his is a different perspective of the team, because he's kind of an outsider to it, and he just brings a different perspective to it. It's really what I mean by that. So it's welcome, and he's so gung ho to be with this group that, you know, seems to be gelling well. It's just he wants to do a good job, and you know, continues to impress me on the show as a character. You know, it's like he'll do whatever it takes to get the job done too. And he follows orders, but he also seems to think for himself too, which is kind of where Ward has a fault. He doesn't really think for himself, or at least hasn't in a while, I'm guessing. So we'll see how that all
shakes
out.
Plus he's got a cool suitcase of awesome gadgets.
Yeah. Thanks, Grandpappy. So speaking of those gadgets, we got to see one that they actually got to use one that we saw last week, which is the noisemaker, which looks just like a someone had written into us and said it was it was used for Jewish holidays, I believe.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember if that was an email or if I saw that on Facebook, because I can't find it right now. But it was now I've always seen that as because I remember my parents having New Year's Eve parties, and it's just like a little noisemaker. It's, you know, you hold the stick and you spin the box around it, and it's got a clacker inside, makes a little right. noise and stuff like that. So, but this person was saying that it's also used for one of the Jewish holidays as well. So I guess it's kind of, you know, used for a number of different things. So that's, but it definitely looked old timey, right? It fits right in there with.
Oh, it was perfect. And, you know, it was one of those things. Stuff. There was so many episodes or so many parts of the episode that made me smile. That was the first one. When, you know, he winds it up, I'm expecting it to be some sort of a explosive or something that's going to take out all these guys. And I just started laughing. I'm like, that is awesome.
The fact that it's like broadcasting some World War II old timey. Yes.
Here come the good guys. We're here to save the day. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. That was fun. So at the end of the episode, Coulson asks if Fury's just going to, you know, because Fury says he's going away for a while. And he asks if he's going to be nowhere. And Fury actually says, I'll be everywhere. And then pulls his shades down so we can see his yucky eye again.
yucky eye. Very nice.
And, you know, I don't know. Is that not PC?
Yucky eye. I think that's the scientific name for it. I don't know.
I'm not a doctor.
Get drops for
now. Me. Somebody, I can't take credit for this. I saw someone post this on a comment section on one of the threads of a Shield story I was reading on one of the sites I go to. But they were saying that there is a place in the Marvel Universe called Nowhere. It's spelled with a K, like K-N-O-W-H-E-R-E. And it's kind of an intergalactic crossroads that the Guardians of the Galaxy frequent often. So they were wondering if that might be a little tie-in or a nod to that. I don't actually think that they're going to do anything like that. I think that may be more wishful thinking, but I thought that was an interesting point to bring up. You guys may recognize the army general that got boned in this episode. Stabbed, maybe? Maybe that's more appropriate.
Stabbed might be okay. Where, yeah, that might be better.
looking up the actor, he was in all three of the Transformer films as an army general or something like that. And he was also in X-Men First Class, also as a general. The dude's got kind of that look about him. So I think he was the one that got seduced by, in X-Men First Class, he was seduced by Emma Frost, if I'm not mistaken.
He was also in 24, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in 24 for a long time.
Main CIA bodyguard or something.
That's
like that.
That's right, yep, that's right.
Yeah. And then Coulson's gun is back, the big destroyer gun from the Avengers film, which obviously has been upgraded. So it has, what, 4 or 5 shots now instead of just one. And I thought that was awesome because Coulson gets it from Fury and is like, I know exactly what this thing does. And he didn't have to get stabbed when he used it this time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And then there was another kind of little circular symmetry kind of piece here with the ace in the hole, which I thought was great. I didn't pick up on that the first time they said it in the episode, but I caught it when I watched it again. That Coulson actually mentions that they're going for their ace in the hole right at the beginning of the episode, and I just kind of missed it. But they ask Ace, you know, what's something that you can tell your dad that he'll know it's from you? And so they text over, you know, what are we? We're a team, which is what was in the pilot. So Josh, I got to tell you, I'm so glad we stuck with this series.
I am too.
It's really made it worthwhile. There were times, and I don't think I ever said this on the show. I might have, but I was really getting depressed towards the middle of the season, where I was like, I kind of hope they don't pick up the season for season 2 because I don't want to continue doing this podcast if this is the kind of shows that we have to review.
Mm. Well, they did have a plan, and yeah. they stuck things here and there that we may have missed or didn't expect to be going with the plan, but I am glad I stuck with it, and I encourage people to check it out again and go back and maybe even watch the series from the beginning, maybe kind of binge watch sections of it, because I think when you watch it overall, it's going to be a little bit better, maybe, because it did get slow. It did get slow in the middle there. So, but they really came back from the winter break there a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I think they learned a lot from the beginning part of the season. They may have even been given permission to go a little further than they were at the beginning, and that seemed to help too with special effects and,
yeah,
and story and things like that. So, yes.
I think you meant to say from the Winter Soldier break. There you go. That's.
Was I thinking? Oh, yes. Say? All right. That's what, now officially called the Bucky break.
The Bucky break. So, Lou, give me your overall impressions of the season here, since we had you on at the beginning and now we got you on at the end.
You know, I think just like you guys just said, it started out great. You know, the first few episodes, it was really something new and interesting to watch. And it got really kind of slow. There wasn't a lot going on. And I don't know if it was just that, you know, they finally found their legs and got going with it, or if they had to wait for the Bucky break because they had to have this stuff timed right around that movie. I kind of feel cheated if that was the case, that they were holding things back and waiting. But, you know, it all worked out great in the end. I think that, you know, this episode in particular at the end was just fantastic. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think I mentioned to you before the show, I had paused it for something I had to get from the couch, and it was right after that big fight scene. And I paused it. I'm like, there's still 15 minutes left? Oh, that's awesome. What else are we going to get? Because I thought we were almost at the end. I'm like, that, man, there's so much more, so much packed into this show. So, you know, I was ecstatic with that. If they can keep this kind of pace up, I'd be excited. I don't think they will. I think it'll slow down a little bit for season two, but I'm looking forward to it now more than ever.
Well, I think what really helps is the fact that if the audience can see possibilities of where the show is going to go and is teased with enough little things about the show, I think they are more willing to write out some of the bad times. A lot of people jumped off after four or five episodes because they were like, man, I can't really see what they're wanting to do here. It's just kind of a, you know, an episode of the week sort of thing. And they weren't finding a lot of the characters that interesting. So the fact that, you know, they're going to be building S.H.I.E.L.D. back up. We've got some mysteries. I know some people could care less about Skye and her lineage and stuff like that. I think there's some interesting stuff to be found out there. So it should be a pretty exciting time, and I'm looking forward to season two. So, you know, I can't believe that, you know, we've been through all of this so far, and, you know, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it seems like there's so much more that they've got to do, and the fact that we get basically a half of a second series, I think, Agent Carter is only going to be picked up for like 12 or 13 episodes or something like that at this point. So, Josh, you and I got our work cut out for us next season. Definitely. We got, you know, a whole extra half a season of shows we're going to be covering.
Oh, that's okay, because it's all good stuff and I love doing it.
All right. So, I guess, I mean, for season one, that's about all we've got, and that's all we're going to do for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and all of the episodes from the whole season, so go back and watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the beginning, get all caught up and watch it together, and then come listen to all of our shows again. And then, once you get on iTunes, give us some good reviews and leave us some feedback. That's how people are going to know what we're all about, and they're going to read those. So give us some great feedback on there. And you can also contact us by email. Love getting those emails, even if sometimes they have big words and they're difficult to understand, because we'll sit there and we'll interpret them and figure it out, dang it. Email us at shield@randomchatter.com or get on our Twitter at Agents Podcast, or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And also be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, which follows the TV show Arrow, which is available on randomchatter.com. And since we're going to be off for a little while throughout the summer, Don't worry, we do have some specials planned, and are planning on being back intermittently here through the summer, so just keep this channel open. But please feel free to check out my Star Wars podcast that I do on ForceCast.net with Chris Wyman called Jedi Journals, as well as the flagship show called Random Chatter, surprisingly enough, here on RandomChatter.com. You can also hear Lou on Random Chatter. He is one of our other co-hosts, as well as on the Star Wars gaming podcast, The Sabacc Table, which is also at ForceCast.net.
Yeah, and you can hear me with my other good friend Shaz on Techno Retro Dads, which is a nostalgic look at all the stuff we grew up with and share with our kids today. And also Tron Decoding the Grid, where we talk about just about anything you can think of regarding Tron. You can find those both on iTunes and on ShotGlassDigital.com.
And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So for Agent Seki and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh,
signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.